Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
If you have your Bibles with you, put them in the air. Right here. Oh, look at us. Look at us. Look at us. Okay, so Pastor Jason has challenged us to bring our physical Bibles to church with us, right? And listen, when I get challenged, I take it personal. I'm challenge accepted. And so I'm bringing this, and I think there's an important thing to this, because I know that you have a Bible app on your phone, and you have like all the translations available to man in that Bible app on your phone, and that is great, and you should use it, and I use it on a daily basis, okay? But there is something about having the physical Word of God in our hands. It's powerful. Not only that, I think it's very easy for us to become so comfortable with the access that we have to God's Word. The fact that we can walk into any like supermarket and store, go to their shelves and find a Bible and purchase it. But there are people in other countries, do you know this? That there's people in other countries and other parts of the world that have like, they might have one singular page from this book in their home that they've actually had to smuggle in, that they have, and they keep it hidden. So they have one singular page of God's Word that they have because it's illegal to have a Bible in their country. I never want myself to become so comfortable with the access that I have with God's Word that I just take it for granted. All right? Bring your Bibles with you. I want us to get used to like turning our pages together. I want us to get used to knowing where in God's physical Word is a certain chapter and book of the Bible. Let's do this. Let's practice this together. Let's grow in our literacy of this Word together. Can we do that? Let's do it. Bring your Bibles with you. So I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 together today. I'm going to be reading today out of the New Living Translation. You might have a different version. That's okay. One version isn't better than the other. God's Word is sharp, is active and alive, and is sharper than any two-edged sword. Read it. That's all there is to it, right? We're continuing this series called Caution today. Caution. When I see tape like this, warning tape, caution tape, it causes me to like slow down for a minute and be like, what's going on here? What do I need to look at? What is this making me aware of? There's something going on here. And in these passages of scripture in this series, really, Jesus is putting some caution tape around some areas of our life, and he's like, take a look. Listen, beware here. I want you to pay attention. Last week, Pastor Sheree kicked off this series with a message titled, Check Yourself. And it was challenging. And she was talking about how Jesus, who had just literally cast a demon out of a young boy and healed him from his affliction, and then was accused by the religious leaders of that day of doing it by the power of Satan. Then those same religious leaders asked Jesus for a sign to prove that he actually was who he said he was. Right? And he's like, just gave it to you. And I think it's really easy for any of us, as we're looking at God's Word, to be super judgmental of the Pharisees, of the religious leaders, and be like, what is wrong with them? Couldn't they see who was right in front of you? Well, can't you see who's right in front of you every single day, working in every area of our lives, working behind the scenes for good, and still sometimes we're like, God, where are you? And he's like, right here. Right where I said I was going to be. Walking with you. Working behind the scenes where you can't even see me working, to make sure that this situation that you're walking through right now is actually going to be to your benefit and to the good of others as you walk onto it to the other side, doing exactly what I said I was going to do. But how often can we fall into the same exact thing that we get judgmental of people in the Bible? It's really easy to see other people's faults, right? When we fall into the same trap as the Pharisees did sometimes, and we fall into missing God's presence and asking him to perform things that he's already doing in our lives. And really, hear Pastor Sheree's message, go back and listen to it. Because I went home, like she gave us some questions last week and I wrote them down. And I went home and I journaled about them. Like, God, am I paying attention to you? Am I doing everything that you're asking me to do? Am I aware of your presence? Today's message, then the passage today, would be really easy for you and I to kind of skim over. Especially if you are in this room and you are already in relationship with Jesus. You're already like accepted his gift of salvation. You're walking with him towards heaven and you're in relationship and you get to this passage of scripture, it'd be really easy for us to be like, that doesn't apply to me. Right? I'm going to read the passage of scripture to you and then kind of come back to the point today. Here's the passage of scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 12. We're starting in verse 43. It says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns, finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. Now, Jesus is talking to the same people he was talking to in the passage Pastor Sheree read last week. He's talking to some religious leaders and people who are following him. That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to people who are like far from him. He's talking to people who are following God's law. Maybe they don't recognize who Jesus is, like the Pharisees are struggling at this moment to recognize who Jesus is, but they're following God's law, and he's talking to people who are following him and are following his teaching and who believe who he is. That's who this passage is directed at. And so we better pay attention when we get to a passage like this, because it'd be really easy for you and I, if we have accepted Jesus, we're walking in relationship, be like, I don't have an evil spirit. There's no evil spirits in me. I don't need to pay attention to this. And just fly right by it. Could it be that as Jesus is talking to religious leaders and followers of him, he's saying everyone can have an evil spirit attached to them, can have an evil spirit attack them. Everyone can have an evil spirit gain access to their life in some way. As I was reading this passage this week, and really like seeking God's heart on how he wanted us to, what he wanted to teach us in this, I was reminded of a situation of one of my friends years ago. And she was in a very volatile and abusive marriage. And she decided, this isn't for me. And it wasn't. And she had the spouse removed from the house and got a restraining order. And started going through the process of divulging the marriage, dissolving the marriage. But if she would have stopped there, right there, that spouse still had access to that house. How? No restraining order in the world takes away the key that gives him access to the locks. Yep. Right? In order to shut off all access to her home, she had to change the locks. She had to change the locks. And in this passage today, in the book of Matthew, Jesus is telling you and I the same thing. You got to change the locks. You want the enemy to stop having access? You got to change the locks. We got to do something different in our lives. When I was growing up, I remember being really afraid of demons. I was. I remember being afraid that a demon was going to possess me. And I remember sitting in services in church and hearing the pastor say, if you have received Jesus and his gift of salvation, then the Holy Spirit now possesses you and dwells in you. And you can't be possessed by Holy Spirit and by a demon at the same time. It's not possible. And while that teaching is correct, it is, okay? You and I cannot be fully possessed by a demonic spirit that takes over control of our lives when we are walking and living for and full of God's Holy Spirit. That's sound teaching. However, it can make us too comfortable if we just stop right there. Well, I can't be possessed by a demon, because I have Holy Spirit living in me. Because there's this other part of it, we call it demonic oppression, where demons can still, demon is just another name for an evil spirit, right? An evil spirit can still tap us on the shoulder and be like, hey, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you something. And all we have to do, all it takes is us that kind of sounds right. You're right. All it takes for us is buying the lie, and that demon now has access to us. And it gets to torment us. And it gets to make us miserable. And it gets to keep telling us more and more and more lies. And I will just tell you, a person who is oppressed by a demon and a person who is possessed by a demon behave similarly. I've seen it. Do you want to know the big difference between the two of those? It's way easier for the person who is experiencing demonic oppression to get free than it is for the person who's experiencing full-on demonic possession, where demons are controlling that person. Yeah. It's way easier for the person to get free who's oppressed and already has Holy Spirit living in their lives. Were you here? Raise your hand if you were here and were here the night that we watched the movie Nefarious. Okay, if you did not see that movie, Nefarious, it's on Amazon Prime on the streaming platform. You should watch it, because it gives a great explanation of how the spiritual world, the evil spirits, the kingdom of darkness, gain access little by little by little to a person's life, and what demonic possession can look like and where it can lead us. Because the enemy, he wants to do one thing: kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants. He hates us. He hates you. And his job is to kill, steal, and destroy you, whatever that looks like. All right? And once Holy Spirit is part of our lives through the salvation of Jesus, we're now filled with his presence. that doesn't make us like off limits now to the kingdom of darkness. Actually, it paints a big fat target on our backs because the enemy is like, now they're working for him. Let's get them. Let's get them back over here. How can I get them so that this living for him is so miserable and so hard and so awful that they're going to walk away? And that is what he does on a daily basis to you and I. He sends his messengers of depression and worry and anger and jealousy and rage and addiction and pornography and sex to tap us on the shoulder and be like, come on, come back over. And the access that he gets to us is granted by the lies that he tells us and us believing those lies. Those lies come in the forms of temptation. They come in the form of false protectors that convince us that they will keep us safe from people hurting us in some way. Ephesians tells us very clearly, in Ephesians chapter 6, just a few books over from Matthew, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 12, says this: we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul, the writer of Ephesians, is telling us that the battle that we fight on a daily basis is against Satan and his demons. Plain and simple. And once access has been granted to an evil spirit in our lives, it actually has a right to be there. Did you know that? Once we have granted it access through believing its lie or falling into the temptation, accepting the gift of temptation that it's offering, it now has a right to be there. It's like, they gave it to me. I don't have to go anywhere. And so, in order to send that evil spirit on its way, we have to come out of agreement with the lie that we believed. That whatever it's offering is going to make us feel better than we're feeling right now. That's the lie. Right? We have to choose to forgive the person that might have been part of teaching us that lie. And then we have to ask Jesus to take that, whatever that is, that spirit is, whether it's addiction, whether it's sex, whether it's pornography, whether it's worry, anxiety, fear, anger, whatever that is, we ask Jesus to take it. And he does. Mm-hmm. And today's passage picks up right there at the place where Jesus takes that, whatever we hand him. And there's a process that we have to go through in order to deny access for that spirit anymore. And that's what the process we're going to go through right now. The first thing is this: we have to recognize that empty space is a place. Okay? You better write this down, take a picture of this, whatever, because you need to remember this. This is not my own words. I heard this from a message from Joyce Myers years ago, and I've remembered it ever since because it hit me. Empty space is a place. Jesus said in Matthew, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none, Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept and in order. Just because it's clean doesn't mean there's no access. It might be clean. We might not be behaving the way we were before. We might not be doing the same thing. We might not be feeling the same way. But if it has not been filled up with what God wants to fill us up with, it's still an empty place for that spirit to reoccupy. Boom. Empty space is a place. Jesus warned us, a spirit is always comes back from the place where they were sent away from. Okay? So, when we come out of agreement with a lie and we ask Jesus to take whatever it is that he's tapping us on the shoulder about, and we tell him, like, this is yours, you can have it, what can we expect? It's gonna come back. It's coming back. Jesus told us right here. It's gonna wander around maybe for a couple of days, maybe for a couple of months, but it's coming back. And so we have to be ready. How in the world can we be ready, like, for that spirit to come back? Well, we have to experience the great exchange. This word, the great exchange, the phrase the great exchange, was coined by Martin Luther in the 1600s during the Great Awakening. And he wrote this whole paper that he went and he pounded it with nails on people's doors, on light, like throughout the towns where he was living, all about the exchange that Jesus offers in salvation, in his presence. When we empty ourselves of everything of us, of our humanism, listen, I could preach a whole message about the spirit of humanism in our society today and the focus that we have on ourselves. Oh, get ready for 2025, Hope City. Just saying. All right? And Martin Luther talked about the exchange that is offered in Jesus when we give up the things that are not of him and he fills us with him and his presence. He called it the great exchange. And the idea of this is that God will never leave us empty. He takes out the bad that we offer him, and he exchanges it for better. It's like an upgrade, right? He's the master of upgrades. But we have to ask him. Pastor Paula, that does not say that in the Bible. Show me where. I will, as a matter of fact. If you turn in your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, in chapter 61, God is talking to the people of Israel. And he's talking to this people that have actually, they were his chosen people, but they have spent generations walking away from him. And they have found themselves in a desolate, depressed state. They've been overcome by other countries because they are not fully committed to God. And they are sad. And they are in a state where they don't want to be. And God says to the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, he says this, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. You give him your ashes, he's going to give you beauty. A joyous blessing instead of mourning. You give him your mourning, he's going to give you a joy. festive praise instead of despair. You give him despair, he's going to give you praise. Do you see the great exchange right there? You give him this, and he gives you this. It's right there. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Listen, I'm about ready to be super vulnerable with you. Because we should be experiencing the great exchange on a regular basis in our lives. Because God takes us through seasons where he's like, and now I want to talk to you about this that's been impacting your life. Okay? So during our last soul care, which was in October, God started talking to me about a false protector, about something that I had been using for a long time, and I didn't even know it was there. I didn't know this was a false protector. He started talking to me about harmony. Now, I knew that I liked harmony. Actually, in the Strength Finders personality test, harmony is one of my top five strengths. And so I was like, what could possibly be wrong with harmony? With people united and working together and working towards a common goal? How can that possibly be a false protector? And God said, true harmony is not. But you operate with false harmony or manufactured harmony. Buh. He showed me I had been believing a lie that the happiness of everyone around me and the people around me was dependent upon me. I had to make sure that people were happy, that people were getting along. It was my responsibility to make sure that any like upheavals in relationships or stuff, I had to fix it to make sure that everyone got along and everyone was okay. That was my responsibility. And I wasn't going to be okay until everyone was happy. And you shouldn't feel this way because that hurts their feelings. And you shouldn't act like that because that hurts their feelings. Do you see the chaos? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God, I don't like that at all. Yeah, you can have that. I don't want it anymore. You get it. Well, he said, here you go. Now you can have some wisdom in place of false harmony. Now you can use wisdom. That's great. Well, what do you think came back this week? Knocking at my door. False harmony. Do you know what I did? I failed. I was like, oh no, there's this problem and I have to fix it. And let me just, okay, and you don't talk like that and you don't say that and you shouldn't act that way. And God was like, that doesn't sound like wisdom. Right? And man, I felt so defeated and so wrong. But here's the beauty of how God works in the great exchange. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. But when we do fall back, and when we do try to like give access to again, and he reminds us, he's like, just repent. Let's try it again. So I did that. And I'm going to tell you something. The next time that false harmony comes knocking at my door, I think I'm going to be a little bit more cautious this time. Like, no way. Jesus, how do you want me to use wisdom in this situation? What does wisdom want me to do in this moment? Right? When I choose to start using wisdom instead of partnering with false harmony, I do this. I changed the locks. All of a sudden, the access that has once been granted is no longer there. Access has been denied. Ephesians 6 goes on to say this in verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Listen, I wasn't standing very firm this week. After that battle, I was a little shaken because I hadn't put on God's full armor. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen, you cannot wield this sword if you don't know what it says. You want to wield the sword of the Spirit? You better be in the sword of the Spirit and reading the sword of the Spirit and letting it get down into your heart, your soul, and your mind so that when those fiery arrows come at you, you can say the word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, and cut it in half. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers anywhere. We have to use the upgrade from the Great Exchange to resist that revisit. What God gives us in exchange fills that empty place. And when that spirit returns and tries to gain access, much like that abusive spouse returns to the home and tries to use the same key, it discovers the locks have been changed, the access is denied, and it can't get in anymore. That only happens when we use what God has given us instead of going back to what we've already always used in the past.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.